From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the third day of March, 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And Harry Cooney of GrowMark will join us to take up the agricultural energy markets. In agricultural news, the U.S. Attorney General's office wants to know if consumers are being gouged at the gas pump. The UN's FAO, that's the Food and Agricultural Organization, believes world food prices are about to take another step higher. And Crop Scouts are set to release the U.S. Wheat Tour survey results. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also in this half hour, the state statisticians will help us tease out some vital information from the Crop Progress Report. Here's the important part. Farmers in three of the top five corn-producing states are ramping up planting. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with meteorologist Don Day to see if they'll be able to keep those planters in the field throughout this week and next. So stay with us for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stewart-peterson.com.
On this Tuesday afternoon, futures in Chicago finished like this. The nearby May soft red winter wheat at $7.60¾ per bushel, up a penny. July at $7.93¼ for the new crop, 1½ higher. Kansas City wheat, July futures, $8.98, up 7½ for the hard red. Back in Chicago, May corn futures at $7.19, a settlement price down 11¾. July at $7.23¾, 10¾ lower. And September futures, $6.98¾, down 4¾. December contract up one, $6.62¼ for the new crop corn. March futures, $6.73, up a penny. And May of next year at $6.81, up ¾. May soybean futures down 31¢ at $13.59¼. July at $13.63¾, down 29¼. And November beans at $13.54¼, 19½ lower. January at $13.61¾, down 19. May meal was down $7.30. May bean oil down 92¢. Live cattle futures finished the August, or rather June, at $110.60, down $1.35. May feeders at $129.32½, down $1.72½ on the day. And the May lean hogs at $92.65 finished the limit lower, down $3. You're listening to the CMR. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Ethanol futures at $2.62, 6¢ higher on the day. Natural gas at $4.67¾, down 2¢ on the afternoon. Diesel fuel at $3.17¹ a gallon, down 7¢. And the crude oil for the day at $110.67 a barrel, down $2.85. May gold futures at $1,540.10 an ounce, down $16.60. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average just about 54 points lower now at 12,754. The U.S. dollar trading 73.14, up 0.19. The CRB index at 365.05 is down 3.12. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. This afternoon, mostly cloudy skies, a high near 56 degrees, west-northwest winds at 9 to 11 miles an hour, though gusts as high as 16. Tonight, patchy frost, that's right, frost, after 3 a.m. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly clear, a low of 35 degrees, northwest winds at 6 to 10 miles an hour. Wednesday day, partly cloudy skies, a low of 42, calm. Winds becoming south at 5 to 8. That's Wednesday night. Wednesday day, that patchy frost is around until 7 a.m. Otherwise, sunny skies, a high near 61, north-northwest winds at 3 to 7. On Thursday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 in the afternoon, the high near 65, Thursday night. That chance of showers persist, a low 47. Friday, mostly sunny, a high near 67, and Friday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low of 51. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour and talk with Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's a Tuesday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. On the phone line with us to check out the agricultural futures markets, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Oh, good afternoon, Todd.
What happened of interest to you in Chicago today?
Well, I think we saw continued money leaving town as far as we're talking about. I think we're seeing some of the large funds just get out of the market. And it's one of the things that's going on, Todd. And then, of course, the weather forecasts talking for a little better. Planting opportunities, so we sure aren't seeing them over here, but I know up north, as we talked to some of our customers in northern Illinois, like that, they're starting to get in the field yesterday and today in a small manner as that's getting away. So if we can see a little bit of clearing weather in some of these areas, why we can get some corn planted.
And why do you suppose the liquidation is taking place by the speculators?
Well, I know that Goldman Sachs issued a thing that said there was too much speculative length. There was talk last week about as QE2 comes to an end or the quantitative easing that the government's doing, that maybe some of these funds might want to have limited some of their exposure here in the commodities, and that we might see a little bit of drift down. You know, the other thing is basically along the way, our export sales haven't been real great. Our shipments haven't been good, and it does look like a little bit of rationing is beginning, and we might see a little bit of building of stocks because of those reasons in the report next Wednesday.
Are you satisfied that as liquidation takes place that the marketplace will discount it eventually and come to a place where it believes the market needs to be? That's usually what happens, but I'm wondering whether the idea that just because the speculators get out that the market has to go lower doesn't mean that it's going to stay there. It might be just a short-term fix, right?
Well, the market will always move back to where it needs to be out of supply-demand once that we get the market or the money flow ends, whether it's money flow in or money flow out. When we get back to just balancing the books, we'll get to the point it needs to be is to make whatever rationing is needed to get through the end of the year or the tightness of it to raise the price up to get there.
Corn was fairly stable for the day. Beans were off 31 since the nearby November contract was down 19.5. Why was that the case?
Well, you know, a couple things. We continue to see very little interest from China at this point in time. Their crush margins still remaining negative. They're trying to auction off their own reserve stocks. We saw that South America up their bean crop in Brazil. And most of the business is seeming to go there as of right now. We're also, as we look at the weather in a lot of the areas that are very wet, especially the Delta, we're going to probably see beans planted instead of corn. And when in a situation where the beans aren't as tight worldwide as the corn is now, and adding a few acres back in there doesn't help for anything either that way, Todd.
Any news on the wire service about the Army Corps and what effect that has on traffic on the Mississippi River as they blew open that dike?
Well, I think, number one, that it will hopefully take some of the pressure off some of the dams or the locks and a few things like that along the way, and also flooding situations. But when you're at flood stage, anyhow, the traffic on the river is very, very limited, if at all. Most of them are tied up off to the side and right, not wanting to traverse there. So, you know, the faster we can get down below flood stage, the faster we're going to resume the natural flow of barge traffic up and down the Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. Of course, they blew that levee out last night, and that's made a pretty good news splash, despite all the things that are happening in the world.
It was quite an impressive explosion there, and I'm sure there was quite a few people on the other side of that levee weren't very happy.
But I would think so.
There's going to be some preventive planning there, I think.
Indeed, there will be, about 110,000 acres? So that's roughly speaking, a county and a half or something along those lines. So, well, anything else we need to talk about before I let you go?
I think, you know, the main thing, we're going to want to be watching the weather very close, and I think that we're going to want to keep our eyes focused towards next Wednesday's report, Todd.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear what Wayne had to say again, you can always do that in a couple of ways. Visit our website at willag.org or dial this number, 217-333-3434. We update the voicemail at 10:15 and 3:15 daily with either the opening numbers or closing numbers and a bit of analysis.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Dave Dickey is here now. He has all the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder today says that a new task force focused on fraud in energy markets will look into whether consumers are being gouged at the gas pump or traders are manipulating the markets. Holder says, quote, "To the extent that they are, we will hold them accountable." The head of the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization says that world food prices are set to rise again as concerns persist over Chinese and U.S. winter crops and global production lags increasing demand. The FAO's Global Food Index actually fell in March after 8 months of consecutive gains, but FAO officials say this trend has already begun to reverse and that the extent to which food prices will rise would depend on the dollar's value on world oil prices. The FAO estimates that ethanol development overall in Europe and in the U.S. has displaced between 100 and 120 million tons of cereals from the food market. More than 70 wheat representatives of the U.S. grains industry are traveling across Kansas and parts of neighboring states this week to assess the condition of this year's hard red winter wheat crop, which has emerged from its winter dormancy to the worst drought in four decades. Crop scouts will examine some 400 wheat fields before issuing the Wheat Tour's yield and production estimates on Thursday. Archer Daniels Midland today says its net income rose 37% thanks to a healthy third quarter for oil seed and corn processing and agricultural services. ADM posted earnings of $578 million or 86 cents per share for the 3 months ending March 31st. That's up from $421 million or 65 cents per share a year earlier. Revenue climbed 33% to $20.8 billion. ADM said its profit climbed to $158 million from $99 million for its bioproducts division, which includes ethanol and food additives. And Hamburg-based oilseed analyst Oil World today increased its forecast for Brazil's soybean harvest by 500,000 tons. Oil World now says that Brazil's 2011 soybean crop is a record 72.5 million tons compared with 72 million tons forecast in April. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program, like all the rest of our programming, you can find on our website at willag.org. Commodity Week's our weekly look at what's happening in the world of agriculture. We booked our guest today. It will be Emerson Nafziger, agronomist from the University of Illinois. We wanted to check and see what what he had to say about the cold soil temperatures and the effect it might have on seedling corn plants, the wet weather, and what it might do to the yields of late planted corn, and of course a few other things. Emerson Napsiger, our guest on Commodity Week, recorded at 4:30 p.m. on Fridays, and it'll be up at willag.org by about 6 o'clock that evening. Our panelists in studio, by the way, Dan Zwicker, Paul Cooley, and the man you just heard, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Now up next, let's take a look at the Crop Progress Report as it came from the United States Department of Agriculture. The 18 primary states for corn planting have now put about 13% of the crop in the ground. That's way behind last year, which was at 66%. And even way behind the rolling five-year average, which was at 40%. But they're catching up quickly, and as you'll hear, a few of those states, the top five anyway, three of them, are already beginning to roll.
This is Greg Tayson, director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending May 1st, 2011. Continued cool, wet weather through the middle of the week in Iowa kept farmers out of the fields and planters in machine sheds. The weather took a slightly warmer and drier turn near the end of the week and allowed producers to resume field work and planting activities. By the end of the week, corn planting was just started for most producers, while a few farmers were nearly done. Temperatures in Iowa for the week as a whole averaged 3.7 degrees below normal, and the statewide average precipitation was 0.91 inches, or just slightly above the weekly normal of 0.86 inches. Statewide, there was 1.7 days suitable for field work during the past week, ranging from highs of right at 3 days suitable in the southwest and west central districts to just less than 1 day suitable in north central and northeastern Iowa. Topsoil and subsoil moisture levels rated 99% adequate to surplus, and soil temperatures as of Sunday, May 1st, were averaging near 50 degrees statewide. 8% of Iowa's corn acreage has been planted, compared with 82% at this time last year and the five-year average of 48%. Normally, 8% of Iowa's corn crop is in the ground by mid-April. Southwest Iowa producers led the way with 21% of their corn acreage seeded, and the only other district with over 10% planted is West Central Iowa, where 14% of the corn was in the ground. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending May 1st. The week ended with virtually no planting activities taking place due to extreme wet conditions across the majority of the state. Temperatures averaged a near normal 55 degrees, however, rainfall averaged 1.44 inches, above normal at 2.34 inches. So it should be no surprise that there were less than 1 day suitable for field work. Corn planting was pretty much non-existent last week due to the wet conditions and remains at only 10% complete. This compares to 85% planted last year and 46% for the five-year average. 3% of the crop was reported emerged, compared to 35% last year and 14% for the five-year average. Leading the state in corn planting progress was the Southwestern Crop Reporting District, where 27% had been planted by week's end. The soft red winter wheat crop was reported at 9% headed, compared to 11% 1 year ago and 14% for the five-year average. Overall, the wheat crop was rated in fair to mostly good condition. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Spring planting progress was slow to advance due to cool temperatures and additional rainfall. Field activities did, however, pick up at the end of the week as strong winds dried soils. For the week, only 3.5 days were considered suitable for field work. Corn planted stood at 15%, well behind last year's 44 and 1 week behind 35 average. Corn emerged was 1% compared to 3 last year and 2 average. Soybean planting was just underway and limited to 1% complete behind 7 last year and 4 average. Wheat conditions rated 1% very poor, 13 poor, 39 fair, 41 good, and 6% excellent, which is below last year's 74% good to excellent. Wheat joint was at 26%. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Planting progress inched forward as 3% of Minnesota's spring wheat was planted as of May 1st. Last year, spring wheat was 96% planted, and the five-year average was 41%. Corn planting was underway at 1% complete, compared to 84% last year and 46% for the average. Other planting activities included oats at 9%, barley at 3%, and sugar beets at 2% planted. These crops were at least 35 percentage points behind their respective averages. Statewide, above-average precipitation prevailed during this week. Steady rain fell across much of central and southern Minnesota on April 26th. The Twin Cities International Airport received a record-setting 1.46 inches of rain. The rain changed to snow over parts of northern and central Minnesota into the early morning on April 27th. 1 inch of snow was measured in Duluth. Statewide average temperatures measured 3.3 degrees below normal. The anticipated start date for full-scale fieldwork was delayed for a second week to May 6th. That's the weekly crop weather report for the week ending May 1st, 2011. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS. Planting of corn and soybeans was at a standstill again this week due to continued rain showers. Record rainfall during the month of April has caused severe flooding in many low-lying areas. Total precipitation during the week ranged from 1.06 to 4.88 inches, leaving only one-tenth of a day suitable for fieldwork during the week. Topsoil moisture was rated 19% adequate and 81% surplus. Temperatures ranged from 3 degrees below normal to 5 degrees above normal, with a low of 31 degrees and a high of 77. Corn remained at only 2% planted compared with 69% last year and 31% for the 5-year average. This is approximately 20 days behind last year's record-setting pace and 17 days behind the 5-year average. The record year for late planting occurred in 1961, when there had been no corn planted at this time and only 1% had been planted by May 10th. 57% of the winter wheat acreage is rated to be in good to excellent condition compared to 71% last year at this time. The condition of the crop is beginning to decline as some acreage has been damaged from standing water. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Our thanks to the 5 state statisticians from the 5 top corn-producing states in the nation.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Time to check the agricultural energy markets. On the phone line with us, Harry Cooney. He's with GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Harry. Let's get on to it. What's the dollar look like and the Dow? And, well, where are the seasonal price studies at this point?
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Yeah, we got a lot of exciting things. The dollar is still weak. And in fact, the dollar is probably heading down even lower levels. It's a little oversold in the near term, though, so the dollar could take a pop at any one time. You mentioned the Dow, the stock market. It's a little overbought then, and we've had a good run-up in the stock market. It's due to set back here some. It could set back more. The Dow's down about 35 here right now. It's due to set back possibly a little more. The seasonals, yeah, they tend to rally from winter out into early spring and summer, or I say spring and early summer, and we're right in that period now. In fact, some years we do get some peaks in energy prices sometime out here around in May. For now, the trend is still up. When you look at trend-following systems, the trend is still up. We're just in a setback in this uptrend. But again, out in this month of May, we tend to find some peaks in price year in and year out. So we'll have to watch for those peaks to come into play, and hopefully we can get some peaks in energy, and then the setback maybe give some buying opportunities for fall diesel fuel for producers in the next several months.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us and taking the time today.
Thank you, Todd.
That is Harry Cooney. He's with GrowMark out of Bloomington, Illinois. He joins us on a Tuesday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural energy markets. Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming will be here in just 2 minutes to look at the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Chocolate Mousse Day. The exact date of the first chocolate mousse recipe is unknown, but it's believed to be from the second half of the 1800s. The oldest U.S. print reference for chocolate mousse dates back to the October 7, 1892 edition of the New York Times. Dessert mousses, most often fruit, began to appear in numbers in the second half of the 19th century. By the way, food historians say that chocolate mousse was promoted in the U.S. about the same time as chocolate pudding mixes. On this day in agricultural history in 1829, James Carrington of Connecticut patented a coffee mill. Carrington was widely known as a machinist, and he served as shop foreman of Eli Whitney's gun manufactory. In 1825, he resigned his position and established his own foundry, which made coffee mills and razor scraps. In 1845, on this date, William James Farrer was born. An Australian agriculturalist, he developed several new varieties of drought and rust-resistant wheat that made possible the great expansion of Australia's wheat belt. The result was an average wheat yield gain of 3 bushels to the acre between 1900 and 1920. And in 1974, on this day, was the largest single-day outbreak of tornadoes in recorded history. In all, there were 148 tornadoes in 13 states in 26 hours. The outbreak included 6 F5 tornadoes and 30 F4 tornadoes. Damages were put at $3.5 billion. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us, Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Thanks, Don, for joining us. Will we be able to plant in our part of the world anytime soon? And I'll remind you that Emerson Napsaker, our agronomist, says that in western Illinois, the U of I research planters are in the plots today.
Well, things are a little bit drier. And the trend will be for the storms to not be as wet, but we still have systems coming through. But I think the first couple of systems in the next period we're talking about, from today through the weekend and into early next week, we're going to see them as quick movers and not the big soakers like we've had this spring. So I would say that the odds of getting planted, especially in those western areas you mentioned, is a good possibility. I think the trend of drier weather, or at least conditions that might be a little bit more favorable for planting, will take place, but it's going to be a gradual dry out. We're not looking at a prolonged spell of warm and dry conditions that'll dry things out in a hurry. It's going to be a slow process.
Well, let's talk about the warmth and the dryness and maybe wind, how much and of that kind of thing will happen, and start with temperatures. Will we get a little wind, too, to help out the process?
Well, we will. The problem is when it comes to temperature, we're just not going to be real warm. We do see some warmer temperatures possibly moving in here by the weekend and into early next week. I think early next week in particular, we could warm up quite a bit. When it comes to the wind, with those warmer temperatures will come a little bit of a breeze as well. When it comes to amounts of rain, at least for the rest of this week and through the weekend, I don't see them as being excessive. If there's going to be some areas that may get some heavier rain, I see that as a possibility late Thursday and Friday in Missouri, central and western Illinois, but we're talking quarter to half inch to three-quarter type inch rains.
And so the folks in Cairo, Illinois, and deep southern Illinois have had some serious problems. They blasted a dike last night and allowed the Mississippi to flood some areas. They're going to get some relief, too, although you told me that there will be some rainfall in parts of Missouri.
Yeah, there is going to be some rain, but not the big rains, at least through the rest of this week, into the weekend, and into early next week. I do think we will need to be watching beyond that time frame, middle to late next week and beyond, for some slower moving systems that are going to come out of the west, which is typical as you get into the middle to the end of May. You always have to watch out for what we call cutoff low pressure systems that get themselves detached from the jet stream and can meander and take several days to move through, and that is something we're going to be watching for the second half of the month.
Broadly, take a look at the northern hemisphere and talk about the wheat-growing regions that may or may not be in trouble.
Well, let's go over to Europe, where they've had certainly some dry conditions, especially in some areas of Eastern Europe. The prospects are a little bit better. Now, Russia is looking still a bit dry, but the Ukraine The Eastern Europe wheat areas, they're looking at better precipitation chances there. And so there's some good news for portions of Europe that have had some dry pockets. They're going to have some better chances for precipitation. Over in China, things look to be tracking along fairly about as expected, really nothing too far from normal, either temperature or precipitation.
Hey, thank you so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.